listeners, your friendly disembodied voice has returned to welcome you back to a new episode of Ritualistic for the first time in a long time. We're very excited for our return to the world of the living, and our entire crew has worked hard to bring you the rest of Season 1. As always, content warnings and transcript link are in the description. This is Season 1, Episode 6, The Murder of Matthew Dubois. Enjoy!
This is Jamie Locke, traveling anthropology and archaeology student, studying rituals, currently stationed at the Melody Method Church dig site. Hello, Mr. Arthur. Due to your refusal to answer any of my questions, and to only to ask me to keep churning out case reviews, I've decided to move forward with my project, and hope that you're just not getting my emails, or haven't had a chance to listen to my reviews yet. Though I find that doubtfully optimistic. The murder of Matthew Dubois was included in one of the 8 case files sent to me labeled Human Sacrifice that occurred in the town of Middleton, Ohio in the past 49 years. Matthew Dubois was only 17 years old when he died. His only family was his younger brother, Mark Dubois, who was cleared as a suspect almost immediately. Interestingly, in the years since, Mark Dubois has fallen off the map. In fact, 3 weeks after his brother's brutal murder, Mark Dubois dropped off the face of the earth. Everyone assumes it was grief, and maybe it was. Matthew Dubois was killed by stabbing with a stag horn. A strange way to die. Horrible, even. And he was just a kid. I hope he didn't suffer much. He was also left on an altar, something with notable religious and ritualistic connotations. There were little to no suspects in the case, and both January and I agree that if any case is actually sacrificial, it's this one. I'm most curious about the stag. What's going on with that? Some sort of deity? There are a few religions that worship deer, including Shinto, which, if you recall, is the same religion as the see no, hear no, speak no evil proverb originates from. The Japanese religion of Shinto sees them as the messengers to the gods. Greeks associate deer with the sacred goddess Artemis, as do the Hindus, but with the goddess Saraswati instead, and Christians with Saint Hubertus. On top of this, some of the Celts also saw them as fairy cattle, fae transformed into deer. It's all very interesting, but I have some trouble finding any connection to the case. I suppose it's possible that it could have been a murder by a cult that follows ancient Celt rituals and wished Matthew Dubois to be hunted, to be the deer they hunted. The Celts believed the good fairy goddess would choose the deer who died. Maybe that's all Matthew Dubois was to them, a piece of prey. His family wasn't too well off. They were lower middle class, on the struggling side, due to having to send his brother, Mark, to an expensive school for the blind far away. They were both on Thanksgiving vacation when the crime occurred. People in the town reported that Matthew was popular, friendly, and well-liked, but had been something of a troublemaker in his last years. Listened to punk music, wore eyeliner, and there's a few reports included in his file about being caught committing heinous actions with girls and boys. Most of the older townspeople called him a queer punk. The connotation of queer here isn't clear, but could go either way. The younger kids in town loved him, looked up to him, and other than romancing and his loud music, his teachers didn't have a problem with him. He was a good student, kept up on his studies, and stood up against bullies. In his brother Mark's report, Mark asked us about his brother's recent troubles, and as he says something along the lines of, Maddie was a punk, but he wasn't a punk. He loved who he wanted, listened to what he wanted, and did what he wanted, but he didn't smoke, or fight, or bully, or do anything that could get him in trouble with the law. He was just a bit odd, but I always thought he was cool. He never let anyone get to him. But I can't help but wonder at the possibility of it being a hate crime of some sort. Or perhaps a jilted lover, as he was said to have lots of lovers, killing him, and desperate to cover it up, disguised it as a strange occult work. Whatever happened to Matthew Dubois, it was truly a tragedy. Whether or not it was a human sacrifice, I can't say surely either way. But perhaps you can, Mr. Arthur. I can't shake the feeling there's so much you're not telling to me. As you've been asking me to report back on my health to you, I'd like to inform you my concussion is almost cleared up, according to the town doctor. He's an odd sort, but most people here are. Myself included, I've come to believe. Otherwise, I've been forgetting to eat, and I'm losing sleep. I've been having the strangest, most terrifying dreams. I close my eyes, and when I open them...
Jimmy, we need you at the site right now. There's been an accident. We shattered some rubble, and we need an extra hand.
Let's go. I'll walk back with Booker. Emil, would you turn off my tape for me?
Sure thing.
Finally got you alone.
January, don't do that. You scared me half to
you
death.
You seem to scare easily lately.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not, I swear.
Look, something is up with you, Jamie, and Leo. Care to fill me in? What did you all do that was so horrible? Kill somebody?
No, where did you hear that we didn't
Jesus Christ, did you kill somebody?
No, I never said that.
There an issue here?
Actually.
Well, good, because they need you ASAP at the site, January.
I'll figure out what you three are hiding.
Thanks for saving my ass.
Don't mention it, Thorny. But seriously, you've got to learn how to be a better liar.
Well, we didn't kill anyone.
I know. Look, you know there's not going to be any more bodies on the site, right? Like, I just mean, you're safe. You don't have to worry about it. I could even reach in first for the artifacts if it makes you feel better.
Are you sick or something? Have you come down with niceness disease?
Oh, shut it. I know that you've been... I care about your health, alright? No use in lying about it.
Thank you. Even though it's strange to hear you say it.
I mean it, Thorny.
I wish you wouldn't call me that.
Oh, you like it.
I do not, damn it. Oh, Jamie's tape is still recording. Sorry, Jake.
Ritualistic Podcast would like to acknowledge that we create our stories on stolen land. The land we occupy belongs to the Eastern Shoshone and Goshute peoples. This episode starred Jay Short as Jamie Locke, Kayla Burgess as Leo Daisy, Ocean Lavelles as Emil Thornbrew, and Sophia Weaver as January Lauterbach. The ritualistic theme which played at the beginning and end of the episode was composed by Sophia Weaver. The episode was sound designed by Seth Stone, written by Morgan Champagne, and produced by Seth Stone and Morgan Champagne. We'd like to thank our patrons, Jay Short, Colin Short, and Will Saxton. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in a little while.